and welcome back to 10 out of 10 Wood Watch again with Lauren and Ross.
Hello.
Since last week we did Jurassic Park for our new cat Jurassic, it is only fair that we do June for our other cat June.
Yes.
I've kind of conned people though so that it's not an obvious like June reference because I've spelt it like the month June so that it's like two J's. I was like, alliteration is key. But we all fucking know. We all know. And I am so buzzing because there is not a chance Ross would have done this for me if I hadn't named our other cat June. I'm also, just spoiler alert, I'm so in my bag. I've got so much to say. I fucking love this movie. And also, spoiler alert for June part 1, 2, possibly books, onwards and forwards. Kind of like the episodes where we didn't really talk about it. We talked about everything else. Yes. Anyway, Ross, wire in.
So it was released in October 2021. Directed by Denis Villeneuve. Starring Timothy Shyamalan Ding Dong, Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, Dave Bautista.
Isaac, she fucking idiot.
Isaac's right. Give the man respect. Isaac. Right.
Okay.
Dave Bautista, Zendaya, Jason Momoa and Javier Bardem and everybody else has ever made a movie. Like, the cast in both of these movies are just insane.
So stacked. So stacked.
Yeah, so a budget of $165 million and a box office of only $407 million.
That doesn't surprise me, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So, general overview of the film. House Atreides gets fucked over by the Emperor and the Harkonnens, causing Paul and his mother to team up with the Fremen. Also, slash, is Paul the Lisa and Al-Ghaib, which is more a part 2.
Lisa and Al-Ghaib!
Lisa and Al-Ghaib! But we'll probably, we'll, that's more a part 2, bad boy. Oh, and look, there's June the cat come to say hello. So if you hear any purring or scratching or just Mortal Kombat vibes in the background, last week they slept through the whole recording process. This week they've come out to play.
Yeah, not so much.
Right, so why do you love this movie?
No, it shouldn't be why do I love it. Why do you love it?
All right then, since you asked. So I just think everything about this movie is so good. Like, I was so late to the June franchise. I say franchise. I was just so late to the June material in general. But I'll get into that in about 5 minutes. But watched the movie. Didn't like this movie the first time I watched it. You and me watched it. Wasn't into it. Didn't get the Chalamet thing. Didn't get it at all. And then I went back to watch it like a few months later because I was like, no, I really want to like this film. And I was, I think I gaslit myself into it, but like it's worked because like I just love it. Everyone in it's so good. It looks stunning.
Yeah.
It's the plot is really good. Although when I got to the book, I was a bit like, sorry, what? And everyone in it's just so good. And Timothée Chalamet is great. And may or may not be one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
A special interest?
He's not a special interest. He is a passion.
Aye.
I don't have special interests. I have passions. Like, do you love this movie? Or are you just doing this to indulge me?
I'm just not going to respond to that one.
Is this very much going to be one of those episodes where I'm so in my bag and you're just like, aye, all right?
No, it's not that I don't like the movie, just like my first thought and opinion on this is going to explain to me what the fuck's happening.
Right, fuck it. Straight any thoughts and opinions.
Because, like, as I say, I do enjoy this movie. It looks great. It sounds great. It should be everything I like. I can't get into it. I don't know why. Like, there's just, no, it's not for me.
I totally get what you mean, though, because I do feel like this movie really caught me off guard. Like, I remember when the trailer came out and stuff, I really didn't fancy it, like, because I think this, we saw the trailer for this after we went to see Blade Runner 2049, and we really didn't like Blade Runner 2049. I love the original Blade Runner, really didn't like the new one, and obviously that's a Villeneuve film. So we were like, oh, when it came up, like, oh, from the director of Blade Runner 2049, you and me were instantly like, nope, do you know what I mean? And I'd always kind of heard about the June book, but was basically told, like, if you read it, your ears will start bleeding, you're like, your brain's just going to explode. Words won't mean anything. Like, so I was really intimidated by it, And again, I'd never seen the 1984 one, but I had just heard it was awful. So then I'd never bothered. And then obviously we watched it and both of us kind of left being like, what happened? Like, we were really confused.
See, going back to Blade Runner, obviously, like, Denis Villeneuve, his style, I get the same feeling for that movie as what I do for the Dune movie. Right. It looks great, everything in it, like, he doesn't half-ass the visual effect and anything in it, but it's just kind of like, you've got that, but, like, the meat and bones of any movie is going to be, like, the story in that, and is it? You don't really, I feel you don't really get enough in both of them. I think it's more like a visual art piece style, like goes for.
I get you.
But style over substance?
I
don't know.
I don't think so, but then I might think that because, so basically, like, we watched Dune 1, I went back, rewatched it, liked it, but it was really Dune 2 that captured the mind and soul, you know? And then I went back and I only just finished the Dune book this year. But when we were watching it last night, you kept asking me like, right, wait, who's that? What's going on? I felt like I could tell you because I'd read the book and because as well, I've seen both these movies hundreds of times. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a Sunday hangover staple for me and Veronica. Do you know what I mean? So like, I felt like I could explain things to you, but I get what you mean. Like, I do think, like, obviously there's, like, bits in this movie when he talks, when he would, like, drop into conversation, like, oh, and Grandad hunted bulls for sport, and then there's, like, the bullhead, and, like, that's going to mean fuck all to you, but, like, in the book, it's a thing of that, like, this is the bull that killed the Grandad, da, 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 da. Do you know what I mean? And I think as well, with the Dune movie, if we're just going part one, right, I think as much as the Paul Atreides story is obviously the fucking point of the Dune books, right? There's so many like side quests and other mad schemes and characters weaving in and out. I think he's done really well just to be like, we're going to be super fucking concise. And we're just going to make this like straight down the line. This is what's going on. And we'll work our way up to things.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's a movie like... franchise, trilogy, whatever they're going to make of, that you really need to put the prep work in.
Absolutely.
It's a very difficult movie to get going in blind.
I agree. I think that's why I didn't like it the first time. But then, because I even remember when the Dune 2 trailer came out, and I was like, oh, this looks like it'll be a lot better. Yeah. Like, because I think the thing is, I think what really hurt Dune Part 1 is that the trailer, and we'll get into this, but the trailer heavily featured Zendaya, heavily featured the fucking two fight scenes that are in the movie, so it looked like it was going to be this, like, action-packed epic, when really it's a slow-burn introduction,
it's
if you know what I mean.
Just a setup for the second movie.
Exactly. Whereas, like, when the Dune 2 trailer came out and the whole thing was action-packed, you were like, nah, because we fell for this. And then when you do get into Dune 2, there's more meat to it, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas, and I think if this movie had been advertised as Dune Part 1, people wouldn't have been as annoyed about it. Like, you didn't find out it was Dune Part 1 until the very fucking end of the movie, do you know what I mean? Because, like, when he meets Zendaya and teams up with the Fremen, you've only got 20 minutes left of the film. Yeah. Like, so I think if it had been advertised as Dune Part 1, people might have been a bit more forgiving. Whereas, because it was just Dune, everyone was like, what the fuck have I sat through? Do you know what I mean?
See, I get that. I also think, though, if they'd done it like that and people got like the movie they got that was released, obviously, they might not have went and seen the second part.
Yeah. I get you.
Maybe doing it like at the end of the movie, like, oh, right, so the second part's a bit we need to see. But if you already know going in, that's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But people are weird. Like, if they don't like it, they won't watch it.
That's the thing. I do think, though, this movie does benefit from more rewatches, but you're very much I've seen it, I don't like it. To be absolutely fair to you, like, husband brownie points, because you've sat through this movie way more times than you would care to, you know?
Aye. To me, this only sets up that it makes the second one make more sense.
And Dune 2 is just a fucking masterpiece.
And you don't need much. Like, as you say, the second one is very more structured, like a sci-fi movie would be.
Yeah.
Like, you obviously all your stereotypical ones. but it's very deep into lore in the first one.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's the thing, is like, this is 2.5 hours of setting up characters,
yeah,
setting up stories, setting up the future plot kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do think, like you say, like, I think this movie, I think he explains enough, but again, I don't know, like, I personally enjoyed this movie more after I started reading the book.
Yeah,
like,
after, see, you know, yeah, yeah.
After I'd seen Dune Part 2 and went back to this again, I was like, cool, I get more from it. And then also after I'd read the book, I was like, cool, cool, cool. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? So, like you say, I do think it is one you do need to do your prep work for. Well, you don't need to, but you're going to get more out of it if you, yeah, have. But also, we do live in a day and age where most movies you need to do your prep work for. Like, we've missed the last 3 Marvel installments, and I think we're fucked. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really want to catch up, but I know when the next one comes out that I want to go see, which isn't for a while, I'm going to be like, sorry, what? Like, do you know what I mean?
But I do think, even though with Marvel nowadays, they try anyway to make each movie enough of a spectacle that, even if you don't know it in a book, like, I'll go and see it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Like, if you enjoy it, you're probably more likely, but you don't really have to.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is kind of, like, thoughts going through my head when I was watching it last night was, it's kind of almost TV show-like.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, say, like, Game of Thrones, where it's a lot of build-up.
Yes.
Like, I kind of got the feeling, especially, season 2 of the House of Dragons, like, that was a lot of, like, going into lore and, like, there's a lot of talking about the history and all,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a lot of sitting around a table, yeah, and like one action scene, and then, yeah, yeah, I totally, yeah, get it. I feel totally,
like,
get it.
I feel like this was like, it's not as structured because it's not as long as them, but I do feel I got like TV show, like, building up for a full season.
Totally.
For the big payoff, which is June Part 2.
And this is the thing, is apparently, sorry, I'm just going to bring in some useless information here. Apparently he only wanted to do Part 1 and 2 because obviously the story is so vast. He didn't want to, because,
oh,
so,
he could make fucking 10 of these.
Oh, 100%.
Easy.
Well, I mean, the writer did. So basically, and I was confused when I am very new to the Dune thing. So, like, if I'm getting stuff wrong, please get in the comments and be like, you fucking Philistine. Like, do you know what I mean? But I thought Dune was going to be, like, Dune the book was going to be Dune Part 1, like, the film, and I thought Dune Part 2 was going to be Dune Book 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not Dune. This literally is the two films mashed in together. So the third one, allegedly, is going to be Dune Messiah, which is it's a whole thing. But, like, so there's, like, 6 or 7 books, but I was told, because one of my pals is, like, a huge, like, he's read them all. He's a big nerd. Hi,
huge
Sean.
Nerd.
Hi, Sean, you big geek. But, like, he's read them all, and he, like, knows his shit. Like, if you need, like, a geek recommendation, Sean is your man. So when I wanted to read the book, Sean was the first guy I hit up, and I was like, what am I doing? What? And he was like, only read the first 3,
yeah,
because basically I think he died after the third one, so, and the rest of them are like his son, and which is why it gets more and more fucking ridiculous, yeah. Like, so I've done Dune Messiah, I am now on Children of Dune, but I'm only halfway through, because in the nice way possible, these, like, do not read these books if you do not want to be called an arsehole. Like, this book is just looking at me like, all right, stupid, you think you can understand this? Because this is kind of, see, the same kind of vibe as Game of Thrones, where all the characters have, like, similar sounding names.
They're, like, 3 different names.
Yeah, Tyrion, Tywin, and whatever, do you know what I mean? It's the same kind of vibe. And they start, like, mention, like, the thing is with Dune is, like, you're going into the book and it doesn't fuck you about. There's none of this, like, and now we're going to go to this planet, yeah, and this is who lives on this planet. And that, no, it's just straight up, like, right, we're in Caladan, right, we're in Arrakis, right, we're in Getty Prime, and you're like, sorry, where are we? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it is the kind of book that's going to turn around and be like, is that right? You think you can read this? Right? Like, do you know what I mean? I recommend more getting it on Audible, because there's like different actors that get it, and you can kind of see.
You can sort it out.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I did find reading the book easier once I'd seen the film. And I know that sounds super like childish, but I had like images in my head to put onto it.
I get you.
I knew who I was picturing for what, and it made it less complicated for me. I also like. Okay, I'll stop talking about like the book and stuff. Can we have like 5 minutes just to talk about the casting? Like sublime the casting in this movie is. Like, there's not one bad performance. Well, there's one bad performance that you were like, what? But like, I'm not normally sold on Batista. Like, I know he's good. I know he holds his own. But to me, he's always going to be Batista from our wrestling days, you know?
He surprised me as an actor. Mm-hmm. Like, when he announced that he was going to be taking acting roles, I thought it was just a bit of a piss take.
Yeah.
But no, he's actually probably one of the better ones. Like, yeah. Probably the best one. He's had the best, like, roles, I would say.
I'm going to give you a hot take as well. I think now, see if we think right now in this day and age, right this second, mm-hmm. I think Batista's doing better than The Rock with acting roles, because The Rock's fell off a cliff in a big way.
I think it depends on what you view as a better roles. Like, does it make more money? No, but it does more varied roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he plays different things in movies.
Totally.
I mean, The Rock just is kind of one-dimensional.
Yep.
But whereas Batista's more than happy to try and change it up.
Totally, man. He's been in, like, Shyamalan movies. He's done his comedies. He's obviously done Guardians of the Galaxy. He's doing this.
In Bond.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in Bond. He's got some horror movie coming out this year as well. Like, so
I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's done well.
Me too. Normally, I can't be arsed with him, but like, I'll give him the respect he's due. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he's done very well. As I say, it's a shock that he's the successful one.
100%. Because I mean, The Rock is like that. That was my childhood hero. Do you know what I mean? Like, what a guy.
He's just the same in everything, though.
That's the thing. Like,
I think his personality and who he is too big for... He's never going to shake that.
Yeah, I think, he's the Rock in everything, do you know what I mean? And apparently this Christmas movie he's got coming out, that's getting panned already, man.
It was always going to be. I don't understand why people would think that.
Okay, I'll still watch it, do you know what I mean? But
I mean, it's a Christmas movie, so it's catered to kids.
Like, yeah, of course.
Not for us, but... Fuck it, I'll make fucking $500 million here.
100%.
He'll make 50 of that, so
100%.
Who's idiots here?
100%. I think as well, in this movie, like, Batista really holds his own. See, for the amount of screen time he's got, he holds his own, because when you've got people like Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaacs, Isaacs, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya for the 7 fucking minutes she's on screen. But, like, this is a stacked cast of, like, talented people.
Yeah.
Like, Rebecca Ferguson is a fucking powerhouse. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen her bad in anything. Like, even in Mission Impossible, she's good. In Mission Impossible, shit. Sorry,
Duncan. I was about to say, she was in Mission Impossible.
But she's not bad in Mission Impossible. Just Mission Impossible, shit. Do you know what I mean? But she's not bad in it. And Oscar... I'm not even saying his last name because you're going to annoy me with because now I think I'm mispronouncing it. He's Axe. Like, apart from Moon Knight, he's also great in everything. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sorry, Moon Knight was shit.
I was a shambles.
But, like, this is a cast of just stacked, like, older, more experienced actors who are just fucking great. You've got the youngins coming up, like Chalamet. I'm going to talk about Chalamet in about 5 minutes, and you're going to sit down and let me. You've got
already sitting down.
Shut up. You've got Zendaya again for 7 minutes, but like, there's the young up and comers mixed in with the old guard, shall we say? Josh Brolin. I've not even mentioned Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin's a hit and miss, though. Sometimes he's really, really good. And other times he phones it in. Yeah. So, and like, and Josh Brolin's one, you don't really know what you're going to see until you're there. Do you know what I mean?
I think it just depends how he's feeling.
Exactly.
If he feels that he wants to be an actor that day, then you'll get good Josh Brolin.
100%. I do think Villeneuve's managed to catch everybody at their best time, but the one performance that isn't great, and it was you that said it, and now you've ruined it for me, is big Jason Momoa, man. That's dry. Dry. Yeah. As like the dry potatoes at a Sunday roast, do you know what I mean?
Jason Momoa's a weird one. Like, I've not seen him in a lot of movies, but he's not great in anything I've seen him in.
I think the only thing Jason Momoa was good in was Game of Thrones, because he could do the whole, like, do you know what I mean?
He could grunt his way through it.
Exactly.
Nah, fair enough.
Whereas when you actually put Jason Momoa in a role where he has to actually act, not just stand there and look nice, like, it never works. Like, I honestly do think Jason Momoa's got this far because that's what he looks like. Like, you can't deny the man is fucking stunning. He's a big 7-foot rugged Samoan. Like, obviously, do you know what I mean? But I do think that's why he's got where he's got, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously, Aquaman, terrible. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that fell off a cliff.
It's so bad, man. There's this one terrible one that's on Amazon. Me and Veronica watched it. I can't remember what it's called. Wolf or something like that. Or Wolfman or something. And he's like the bad.
Oh, it's your man.
It's your man.
It's your Wolfman.
He's like the evil werewolf. That's so bad that I'm like, oh, I'm going to think of rhyming off Jason Momoa movies and I can only think of like two.
I mean, he's going to be in the Minecraft movie, isn't he?
Oh, great.
That might be the career saver.
Can't wait for that. Looks great. Jack Black at the end of his fucking prime and Jason Momoa in Minecraft, a game that no one's really gave a fuck about for years. I mean, yeah, sign me up.
When you have like people like Jason Momoa in it, but then Zendaya, who's just a powerhouse.
Everything
she's in is just, she's so different.
You can't even say that with a straight face. I don't understand your beef with Zendaya. I really don't. But let the
She has the same two moves. Just frowny look and shouting at people. That's it.
Okay.
Like, even when it's...
Okay, Ross.
When she's, oh, like, I follow my people now. It's just frown, like, you follow my people. It's like, calm down. Like,
you've got right beef with Zendaya and I really don't understand why.
I don't understand the Zendaya thing.
Yeah.
She's the same in everything.
I disagree, but okay.
She has the same things she does.
I've also... Don't say this, because you're going to ruin Zendaya for me. I've also watched I've also watched more Zendaya movies than you have, though. Like, you've... What Spider-Man and this... What else have you seen?
I've seen them all then, because she's the same in everything.
Fuck off. No,
is she not pouty in this?
At some point.
Is she a bit pouty in Spider-Man?
A little bit.
Are they both the same character?
No.
Nah, there we go then.
No, but then that would be the same as slagging Florence Pugh for that frown thing that she does. Like, that's not all Florence Pugh does, but that's the thing that's like...
Florence Pugh does does a bit more acting, though, than Zendaya. Like, I don't mind. See, if you have a thing, like, an actor has a thing that they do.
Yeah, like the...
Fair enough. Don't do it all the time, though.
George Clooney head shake. Yeah.
Like, don't do it all the time, though. Like, that doesn't...
Doesn't
make you a good actor, like, that you can do that. It's just, like, you compare Florence Pugh to Zendaya. Jeezy peeps.
I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying, obviously, Florence Pugh is in the franchise.
Yeah.
So, like...
Florence Pugh, like...
Florence Pugh is the woman of the generation. Yeah. She is the woman of our generation. Like, she is... I would go to battle for that woman, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
with Zendaya, it's just Zendaya doing a performance her way. But with Florence Pugh, she's able to actually...
Become characters.
Act. Yes.
Okay, I don't agree with you, but I'll let you have your moment, you know? Like, we all have our opinions. really do have beef with Zendaya.
No, everybody else in this, other than Jason Momoa and Zendaya, I'm here for. But I've never, even before doing that, I've never thingied Zendaya, I've never rated her.
Yeah. I think as well, in this movie, like, it is... I'm not saying it's easy to spot the dunces, but it kind of is, because, like, Oscar Isaacs could have chemistry with a cardboard box. Like, that's how charming and good an actor he is. And, like, obviously there's only, like, three scenes, maybe, with just him and Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
And the chemistry between them is incredible. Like, within three scenes, you can already tell so much about their relationship. Like, they are so good.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, they caught Chalamet in, like, the middle of his rise kind of thing. Yeah. So he's just fucking happy to be there. He's class.
But that's it. They've got Chalamet doing this, but it's the supporting cast that are keeping the movie together.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though, is, like, I think it is, in a cast this stacked and this talented, it is kind of the weaker performances stand out more. Even Javier Bardem, like, he's only in this movie for, like, 3-4 scenes.
Barely in it, eh?
And he, like, you know exactly what kind of character he is the second he walks in, do you know what I mean? Like, just, I just think everyone in this movie is so good, but I know that you have beef with Zendaya. Well, just wait till June 3 if it's fucking coming out. Right. Can I have my 5 minutes to talk about Chalamet? Right, go and get a cup of tea. I fucking love Timothy Chalamet, right? I didn't get the Chalamet hype. I really didn't, right? I thought he was just fucking weird looking, but I liked the movies he was in. And it wasn't until I watched The King, right? Bitch, I saw it. My eyes were fucking opened. Chalamet is the most beautiful creature I have ever seen in my life. And that is not saying for the other people, like six people a week, I say are the most beautiful creatures. Chalamet is the one. But not only is Chalamet fucking stunning with cheekbones for days and a jawline. Oh, like, he's fucking talented to back it up. Like, I have yet to see a shite Chalamet movie, and that depends on how you feel about Wonka, right? Wonka was a weird choice, and I did go into Wonka a bit apprehensive of, like, oh shit, big man, is this your crash and burn moment? Yeah. So wholesome, man. It's like when you watch Paddington and you're just pure, like, oh my god, that was beautiful. Like, Wonka was like that. Like, me and Veronica watched it and we were like sobbing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
like,
okay.
So good. And this movie was, like, bang in the middle. Like, he's not got off the throat of Hollywood since 2016. Do you know what I mean? And it's been banger after banger. And he makes really interesting choices. Like, he does go between the kind of indie darling. Then as soon as he hit the blockbusters, he's been going and going. I reserve judgment, though. Like, when this Bob Dylan movie comes out, I might redact some statements, you know? But, like,
that's his Oscar push.
I don't know, man. I think that now, like, I'm always a bit wary. So, obviously, when this is being recorded, the Bob Dylan movie's not coming out till, what, Christmas? So,
is it out this year?
It's out on Christmas Day, I'm sure.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or around about then. But, like, so far, like, is Rolling Stone magazine came out today, and it's all this, like, this is the kind of pressure I want to be under. He's already doing all these interviews of, like, I was working so hard on all these movies and was still learning Bob Dylan songs on the guitar and all this kind of thing. And I hope that it's good, and I hope that it's done right, and I hope he is good. I've no doubt that he won't be good in it, right? But it is giving a whiff of the Austin Butler Elvis thing.
If he starts that push.
No. It's giving a whiff. I'm not committing and saying it's giving the full honk, but it's giving a whiff.
Full honk.
Because Chalamet is at least talking like a normal guy in interviews, right? But whereas Austin Butler, he went off the deep end and is yet to fucking resurface, do you know what I mean?
The only thing about the Bob Dylan movie is, why didn't I get asked to do it?
Oh, yes.
Because I do a fucking belter.
that is fucking correct. Why were you not above Chalamet for that fucking movie?
Like, I could have done it.
Are you going to give the people?
Nick, really? Done. Fucking stunning. Stunning.
Give them a how many roads. I'm all about that.
Like, if I hear him and he's not got that leg here, really, dude, I'm going to go off my fucking chump.
Ross, that's quite possibly the worst Bob Dylan. You actually normally do it better.
I know. I'm off my game.
You've caved, man. You've caved.
I'm off my game.
It's because Chalamet's coming for your gig, man. He's coming for your weave.
Feed. There's an Oscar nod for him and he wins it. You better phone me up so look, Roscoe, cheers.
Aye, listen, thanks for all that training.
Cheers for getting that role up for me. 100%,
100%. I think with Charlemagne, to me, reminds me of a Greek statue. No, but like, no, Charlemagne for us must be what it was like watching DiCaprio going from Gilbert Grape to just fucking superstardom. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've watched like Gilbert Grape, what was it? Leprechaun, one of the Leprechaun movies he was in. What was that? No, Critters. He was in Critters, and then like
DiCaprio was in Critters.
It's like Critters 5 or something like that.
Did not know that.
And then obviously Basketball Diaries, and then boof, as soon as he hits Titanic, he's fucking into the stratosphere. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I kind of feel like this is what it's been like watching Charlemagne. Like, obviously he was huge after Call Me By Your Name, and then kind of kept going through all the wee, I don't want to say indie darlings, because obviously they were bigger movies, but smaller than blockbusters, shall we say.
No, I get you.
And that kind of in-between stage between indie and blockbuster, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
And then obviously he hit June and fucking Fjung, do you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's going to be really interesting to watch Charlemagne like continue, do you know what I mean? And I'm not just saying this because I love him, but I just think it'll be really interesting to see how his choices go, because honestly, in my eyes so far, and I'm not just saying that because I love him and he is a Greek statue made of marble, but he's, in my eyes, he's not made a flop. Like, there's been, and he's done such a variety, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Of like, you've got your weepy ones, you've got your arty ones, you've got Wonka, you've got June, you're gonna have Bob Dylan. There's all these other ones in the can. You've had your period pieces with him, with Little Women, because I figured you love me, Joe. Anyway, sorry, I'll move on from Charlemagne. I just had to get my point out there. Like, I love Charlemagne so much, and I think he's great in this movie. And if that came off as weird and creepy, fuck off. Right, we'll actually kind of dive into bits on the film, right? Because I feel like we've kind of talked about everything round about the film and fucking the odd tangent here and there. I think this is a bit more lighthearted before we dive into like other bits about the film. But I wonder how Villeneuve felt about the sandworms becoming a meme from like moment one. Like, the second those sandworms showed up looking like a cat's arsehole, like, it was like they were memed into the ground. And then obviously when June Part 2 came out, they were fucking popcorn buckets. Literally.
They knew fine well what they were doing.
Aye.
Oh, of course they did.
Villeneuve seems like such a fucking serious guy, but do you know what I mean? Like, he's pure, I don't know, man. Like, he's obviously put like so much thought and like into the design of this and all that, and the internet's just went, that worm looks like a cat's arsehole, do you know what I mean?
If one person's thought it, like, somebody must have thought that as they were animating it, designing it. I assume in most movies, when it's like, that's got to be like a wee, that looks weird.
But like, somebody's in the back being like, has anybody told him?
Like, everybody knows, maybe they all know, they're just too afraid to tell him, and he's that focused on everything else that he's not realised it.
100%.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, should we tell him? No, fucking don't tell
fuck
me.
Fuck him, yeah.
He'll go off his nut.
He'll have, like, pissed off one of the visual, like, guys, yeah. And they'll be like, nah, fuck you, I'm going to make this even look more like a cat's arsehole.
I had a cat in it.
For all the action is very few and far between in part one, part two really, really makes up for that. But yeah. When the action does hit, like, see when the Harkonnens and the Sadokar, like, invade and attack the Atreides and all that, it's fucking class. Like, when they're, like, blowing up all the ships and you see, like, the shields dissolving, do you want to go into your thing about the shields now, or do you want to...
I just don't get the whole... Like, the shields are kind of pointless.
They look great, though, and I really think that's the only thing. Like,
because they go in it, like, there's a scene when Timothy Chalamet is fighting with Josh Brolin, he's training.
Yeah.
But they don't seem, the shields don't seem to make sense, but that's the whole bit, that's building up, but the shields as the combat, like, oh, you need to use this.
Yeah.
So I'm also like, if you make that such a big deal, but yeah, then it's hard, like, it's only used in certain points. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so what's the point in...
No, I get what you mean, because, like, obviously, in that scene, you're talking about Chalamet's got a knife at Brolin's throat, but Brolin's also got a knife under Paul's armpit. And it's like not going through, but yet in other parts of the movie, it's very easy. Like when Jason Momoa is fighting the Sadakur, he's fucking slicing through the shields.
But is the shield something they need to activate, or is it just something that's activated?
Yeah, no, you need to like hit it to activate
it. So once it's activated, though, like they shouldn't be able to get through. Because it's not a shield then if it gets through.
Well, that's the thing. Like, obviously, Jason Momoa is like fucking he's like fucking cutting people's heads off. And you see the like shimmer of the shield and you see it go from blue to red. And yet, do you know what I mean?
I don't understand it.
Obviously, like the kind of poison dart that hits Oscar Isaacs,
yeah.
Is this confirmed that that is how his last name's pronounced?
No, I just said it.
Are you fucking joking? You've been babbing me up this whole time.
Yeah.
You fucking bitch. Right, I'm going back to Oscar Isaacs. You fucking prick.
Give a man a bit of respect.
Isaacs, no. Just fucking said you lied. Shut up.
Give a man a bit of respect. Say his name correctly. Fucking hell. Let's fucking bang out of order.
I think, like, anyway, when the poison dart... Oh, we have fun, you know? Like, when the poison dart hits Oscar Isaacs and...
Isaac.
And, like, you can see it kind of stuck in the shield before it goes through. It's, like, half working. I don't know. Like, do you know the way I'm that far deep into the Dune books? Because you were asking me about it last night, and I was like, see if there was a bit about the shields, and the book just went right fucking over my head.
It's just
like,
a plot point for no reason. I assume they are in the books, but...
Oh, no, they're in the books, but there's not any, like, pure mad wild, this is why it works and this is why it doesn't kind of
If a shield, like, if a knife goes through a shield, well, first of all, it's not a very good shield. Second of all, if it's able to go through it, I don't think it's a shield then.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand. The eye, it looks cool, but it doesn't really serve its purpose. So, what's the point? And why haven't they came up with something better?
Yeah.
Like, a shield would be better.
No, yeah, like an actual genuine shield, handheld shield,
And a knife fight they have, that was sort of... But it gets to pick and choose. And I suppose it's a story point, isn't it? That, they can just kill him, is it? But they don't explain why.
Yeah.
I don't imagine they're ever going
to. I get what you mean. I think I would like to give Villeneuve the benefit of the doubt because there is so much content in Dune that's like convoluted and shit. So he probably, it's probably in the book somewhere and Villeneuve's went, well, we don't really have time.
He's probably spent most of his time writing the story being like, right, obviously stuff has to be cut. What can we actually keep that will make the fans of the books happy? But also your cinema goals happy.
Yep.
Like enough to keep them interested.
Totally.
Going out of shield. I know they're about a shield. How it works. Probably isn't the one. But I imagine anyway.
Aye, fair. I think obviously the movie's main villain is Baron Harkonnen, big Stellan Skarsgård.
In this one, yeah.
And I think he is a big menacing bastard in this movie. I think he looks great in it. Again, he's not there for a lot of it. Like, he's only kind of fleeting. But what they give you with him, he's just this big floating, menacing, creepy bastard. And I think it really works. And then, obviously, by Dune Part 2, they introduce Fade Rotha, which I've got a wee A about because I kind of wish he'd been at least mentioned in Part 1. Because basically, like, I'll save it for A. But, like...
So who's he again?
Who? Skin Fade Rotha. He's Baron Harkonnen's nephew.
Austin Butler. Aye, cool. Cool.
But like, see in the book,
himself. Black teeth.
What about Robert? Why are you talking like Scooby Doo, Austin Butler? Genuinely. But like in the book, Paul Atreides and Fade Rotha's journeys are kind of not mirrored, but it's kind of side by side, you know, of like, so you get like a couple of chapters of Paul cutting about, and then there's a couple of chapters of what Fade's up to and all this kind of thing. So they, in the book, they're more kind of interlinked, so that the when they do have the showdown,
yeah, yeah,
it's more of a like, no fucking way, do you know what I mean? Whereas I kind of wish Fade Rotha had been at least mentioned in this, like just even a tiny bit,
yeah, yeah,
so that by the second movie, when he does come in, it's like, fuck, that he's there.
Got a bit of heft to
do you know
it.
What
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I get you. I understand.
Again, don't think it harmed it at all. Like, obviously, part two's class, and you get the Fade Rotha you get, whether you're an Austin Butler fan or not, do you know what I mean? But I just kind of wish, it's kind of like the same way I felt about It Part 1 and It Part 2, is I kind of wish It Part 1 had mentioned more of the, like, the Ritual of Chuds. Like, I kind of wish they'd introduce more of that kind of stuff in Part 1, so that by Part 2 you're not like, what? Do you know what I mean? But again, I didn't understand and appreciate that until I read the book, after I'd seen June 2. Do you get what I mean? So I'm all over the shop with all this kind of thing.
I know we're not doing Part 2, but
I've already gave spoilers that we're talking on it.
Fred, big skin fade.
The skin fade
is kind of... if you say that, he's very underused in it then.
Yeah, very.
But he's just kind of there. Then, spoiler, he dies.
Yeah.
So, just appears and dies.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot to him, but...
Yeah.
Stuff has to be cut.
That's the thing, and I think as well, like, so, seeing the... Again, I can't say anything about the June 1984 movie because I've never seen it. I heard it was awful, therefore never watched it. I know Kyle MacLachlan's in it, and I know Sting is Fade Rotha, but I've never went and watched it. It is one that I will get to, but do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, this is the shittest movie ever, so I've just never bothered. But
just couldn't match with his vision of, like, couldn't technically do it at the time.
Yeah, totally. I think as well, see, for old Baron Harkonnen is very understated as well in the movies. He's very, like, subtly menacing, if you get as subtle as you can fucking get, floating about in the corners and all this shit. But, like, in the book, he's way harsher and way darker. Like, there's a lot of, like, really creepy under... Like, as in, he's got a love for young boys, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. And there's, like, really kind of creepy sexual undertones between him and Fade Rotha in the book. Like, that he's after Fade Rotha, and Fade Rotha's, like, going to get my creepy uncle to fuck. Yeah. That kind of vibe, do you know what I mean? Just get me and the books up, like, hey, fuck off. But I think, obviously, again, I know people were like, oh, they did Baron Harkonnen, like, they did him dirty because he's not as creepy. Like, we don't have time for that shit. And I mean that from a place of love, because obviously this is wholly following Paul Atreides and his journey to Lisa Nalgaib, if you think he is the Lisa Nalgaib, whatever, right? So bringing in all this stuff, like, where are you dropping in that Baron Harkonnen likes young boys and is really weird to his nephew?
It doesn't serve it in this movie,
exactly.
In this version of the movie.
Exactly.
It wouldn't serve it in any version of the
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. I think that's the thing, is that, like, obviously in the book you can be like, ugh, what a prick. But
it,
like,
take as much time as you want to do it.
We need to go on. And also, Austin Butler's fucking creepy with his uncle in this anyway, so I feel like it's a bit weird. Austin Butler, sometimes I can get behind him, and then he opens his mouth and I'm like, oh, you are a walloper, aren't you? Like,
he has a lot of talk for a guy who's not done a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
Like,
Elvis, we watched once and it was good, but I was really turned off by his look at me still talking in a fucking Elvis accent, I mean, 3 years later, do you know what I mean?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He's in for 3 minutes.
Yeah, he's not the reason. That's a fantastic movie.
100%. Like, there's so many people that are in that movie. Like, your Sydney Sweeney's, your Margaret Qualley's, your Austin Butler's, your Maya Hawke's, your Lena Dunham's. But they're only in it for, like, 5 minutes, if that.
Yeah, they're not the reason that movie.
It's not enough to make an impact. We never watched that Bike Riders. Apparently it's terrible, but...
Yeah, I've not heard good things about it.
And then he's going to be... He was in that... Was that a TV show or a movie? The one about the pilots? Do you know what I'm talking about?
On Apple TV, I think
that was it. That was it. Apparently that was just really fucking depressing, man. But again, he's still talking in this fucking Elvis accent. Yeah. And I get it, babe. I get it. You went really hard. You really fucking wanted that Oscar your first time around. You really tried. give up the fucking ghost now. Do you know what I mean? Like, right now, it's just pathetic. It's just sad. You are a very pretty boy. Just sit there nicely and shut up. Do you know what I mean? And I don't care how bad that sounds. I really don't. If you are still 3-4 years later being like, haha, remember that time I was Elvis? No, yeah, I really don't,
been
mate.
And gone. Get yeah, the fuck.
No one gives a fuck. Like, Jacob, and that was the thing, is like, when Jacob Elordi played Elvis in that Priscilla movie, everyone was like, how come he's talking like a normal guy after like a week? Do you know what I mean? I get it. Austin Butler wants to go method, blah, blah, blah.
Also, there's a reason that movie wasn't received well either.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, whatever. See, there's like interviews as well of like, for Dune Part 2, there was interviews with Chalamet and Austin Butler together. And there's like bits where like Austin Butler is just saying the most out of pocket wanky comments you've ever heard in your life, and Chalamet's covering his face because you can tell the wee guy's trying not to laugh. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I've never met Austin Butler, but I've never seen anybody that sniffs their farts quite to the extent that Austin Butler does, you know?
Yes, you have.
Who?
Jared Leto.
Oh my god, right, yeah. Okay, I take that comment back. I absolutely take that comment back. Jared Leto stays at the top of the fart sniffing chain, 100%. Yes, amen, Ross.
It must be a thing where it's maybe his career isn't exactly, I mean, I'm not saying he's had a bad career, he's had a good career.
He was a Disney Channel boy for a while.
Was he?
No, near that. I never had the Disney Channel when I was younger, but only now I know he was. Yeah. But I think he was in like one of the Hannah Montana movies, or he was in the TV show or something. Yeah, like,
what I mean is, though, he's not getting the plaudits.
No.
He's not getting like all the lovey doveys clamouring over him.
No.
Like Chalamet is.
Yep.
So maybe he's just like, he's trying to find too much meaning and stuff to make himself feel better.
I get what you mean.
Saying that, as we're sitting in a two-bedroom house, and he's sitting in a mansion, some fucking nice place. We're like,
gone out with fucking Cara Gerber and all that, and you and me are sitting here, joggies and rollers in, just like, yeah, cool.
But if I see him, I'm like, they can't like you.
Austin, come here. You're an arsehole.
He's just trying to. He's just trying to find too much in his stuff.
No, I totally agree.
Just calm down, mate.
Do
a Marvel movie. Shut up. 100%. Make your money.
100%. Go and do a comedy or something. Go and do something that you just don't need to. Because I can't imagine. I can't imagine it'd be a good hang. Like,
a tough hang, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you go out for a drink and your pal's like, oh, can I bring my pal Austin? And you're like, oh, fuck. Do you know what I mean?
He's the one you make excuses to go home.
100%. Like, oh, it's so nice to see you. Oh, fucking ain't got up the road. Like, oh, Ross has left the cat, so here you go. Just to get back into talking about the movie and not slagging Austin Butler for a further 10 minutes, right? I just kind of, and I go on the train with me, right? Because I don't know if I'm talking shit here or not. I mean, I probably am. But I love how this movie and the second one, but for this part, well, I'll put them all together, right? Is I love that they really play with the doubt on whether Paul is Lisa and Al Ghaib or not.
Yeah.
So basically, the prophecy of Lisa and Al Ghaib is that an outer worlder will come to see the Fremen, and he's the Messiah, basically, and he's going to free them all, and he's going to lead them to green paradise. And there'll be trees and water and plants and everything smashing, la-di-da-di-da. And it's supposed to be like how he'll come in from nowhere but just know all this stuff about the Fremen, and he'll be able to live as one of you, and everything's great, and blah, blah, blah. And obviously, there's kind of sprinklings of that through part one, where Paul knows how to put on the style suit, knows how to wear his boots in slip fashion, knows how to do the sand walk and all this kind of thing, and you're like, oh, cool. And all the Fremen around him are like, no fucking way, this cunt shouldn't know that. But then it's obviously at the start of the film, he's like been researching, you watch him
he just knows it, he doesn't, like,
do you know what I mean? Like, he's been like, and he also says at the very start, when they're still on Caladan, they've not even went to Arrakis yet, and he turns around to his dad and he's like, I should be there, like, I know everything about Arrakis, I've been reading up all this stuff, like, and he's really been like that, no, I know what I'm talking about, because he's been researching it. So obviously that's helping Like, the fact, yeah. like, in the first one particularly, it's all very much like, is Ailsa now okay? What's going on? But then obviously at the start, you're like, no, the wee guy's done his research. Then obviously by the second one, the Bene Gesserit mother, well, has Rebecca Ferguson becomes a Bene Gesserit reverend mother. We've not even spoken about the Bene Gesserit yet, right? But, like, she really plays into, like, the faiths and the superstitions and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, yep, nope, Paul is definitely San Al-Ghaib. But it's like, she's only saying it for, like, survival, you know?
Yeah.
But then, obviously, part two goes the way it does, and Paul is seen to be the Lee San Al-Ghaib, la 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 la, and I'm going to leave it there. But I really like how there's kind of like, oh, he could be, oh, is he? No, he's not. Yes, he, like, I really, really like how they play about with that in these two movies. Like, obviously as well, like, he's hearing the voices, but also they say he's very susceptible to spice. So is he having visions, or is he not? Like, do you know what I mean? So, no, obviously there's, it goes way deeper in the second one about the Lee San Al-Ghaib and about the Bene Gesserit and the worm piss and all that kind of stuff. But it's nice that they let you ponder, you know? Last one, and then we'll move on, right? See the Paul versus Jamis fight at the very end? So fucking good. So good. This is a bigger deal in the books, right? But I think they portray it enough well in the film, because obviously this is his leap from just Paul, son of Duke Atreides, to Kwisatz Haderach, Mahdi, Lee San Al-Ghaib vibes, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, I know I've not even fucking spoken about the Bene Gesserit yet, but I fear we will be here for about 3 hours, do you know what I mean? But I just think it handles it really well, because, but again, I remember the first time I watched it and I was like, who is this prick Jamis and why is he at a level 10 immediately? There's not even been a build up there. Like, this guy's,
for no reason,
do you know what I mean? Like, this guy's just hit a 10 and being like, I cool, let's go. Do you know what I mean? And more in the book, it's a bit more like, not drawn out, but you know what I mean? Like, there's more of like, oh, Jamis is a proud man and blah, 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 blah. Like, you get sense from the film, but it does kind of come off the first time you watch it as like, why is this prick all in everybody's face? Do you know what I mean? But very, very good. Love it. And I just love, see that one bit, that one bit when he like fucks him up. No, he just like, Kwisatz Haderach, climb up, rise. Every time I'm like, yes. Sorry, I will shut up. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I've went through all my head.
Fuck, sorry. How long have I been talking? Holy shit. Right, okay. Let's go. Do you have a let's go moment?
No, no for me. I mean, I assume you've got about 20. But there's not enough like of a bit where they actually need to go get shit done in this movie for me.
Mine is anytime the chant comes on. And I'm not going to do it, but you know the chant I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
I'm not going to do it. or when he uses the voice for the first time, because you fucking know what's coming in part two. When, like, he turns around to the Reverend Mother and he's like, silence! Oh, my God.
See, you say that, but...
Oh, part two is where it's at.
If you didn't know there was a part two, would it be a let's go?
Fine, okay, I'll take that out. Okay, fine, my let's go is just anytime you hear the... Oh,
yeah, I get you. I get you.
And that's as much of the chant as you're getting. Do you have a favourite scene?
Yeah, just the first time with the sandworms.
Yeah.
Where it's the...
Shai-Halud.
Like the miner. No, it's the mining.
When it gets stuck and they have to run in.
Like that, the whole scene of that, like when you see them coming for the distance, that's probably my favourite scene.
Yeah, looks class. I really like the when he meets the Reverend Mother and puts his hand in the box. What's in the box? I was between that, the fight with Josh, the training fight at the start with Josh Brolin, or the Paul versus Jamis. Climb up, rise. That was my like three. Again, though, I find it really hard to pick one because I just fucking love these movies so much. You know what I mean? Do you want to read the useless information, because I've done nothing but talk?
No, Lord, you're in your element here.
I'm kicking you in. You can't make it. I'm fucking kicking in.
Yeah, you do you.
No, it's stunning. I'm in my bag. Right, fuck it. Useless information. Hans Zimmer was a huge fan of Dune, the novel, that he turned down scoring his longtime collaborator Christopher Nolan's movie Tenet to work on this.
Tenet was straight anyway.
Tenet was straight. Give it up for Robert Pattinson, but...
Nah, he's straight in it.
Villeneuve also turned down directing No Time to Die to work on Dune. I couldn't imagine Villeneuve's No Time to Die.
That'd have been weird, though.
Isn't it? Whatever.
Who done No Time to Die?
I don't fucking know.
All right, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Peter Jackson was also originally set to direct, but backed out due to scheduling issues.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice.
Because Peter Jackson's not made anything good since Lord of the Rings. And I stand by that.
King Kong.
Fuck off,
fucking
King Kong.
Fucking Belter.
Fuck off. David Lynch, who directed the original 1984 movie, said that he had zero interest in the new project, as he considers the failure of his adaptation his biggest heartache.
Make a better movie.
Again, though, in 1984, you're only making the Dune that you can with the things you have in 1984. Do you know what I mean?
Seeing like 50, 60 year time, if they redo this, it's going to look 10 times better than the one we've got now.
Oh my God. That's the thing though as well, is I think as well, again, never seen it, so I can't comment. But from what I've heard, I think he does try to shove everything in. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's probably like, how am I cramming this whole book in 2 hours? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Warner Brothers announced that Dune would stream on HBO Max a week after it released in theatres, even though Villeneuve tried his hardest to fight this. He said streaming it too soon would kill the movie, as the size, scope and sound of this film was specifically designed for the theatres and for the big screen. So that could also put down for your box office numbers too.
Well, don't release it during COVID then.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not allowed the cinemas, but it'll ruin the experience. Yeah, nobody's allowed here.
Yeah. Fuck off. This is your guy, your man, David.
Your man.
What's his... David...
Big Malkin.
Your man, Davey Malkin. This is his third Villeneuve movie following Prisoners and Blade Runner 2049. I didn't know Prisoners was a Villeneuve movie. That's one of Veronica's favourites.
Is that the Hugh Jackman one?
Hugh Jackman, Stellan Skarsgård spent 7 hours a day in the makeup chair to achieve the look of Baron Harkonnen. The direction for the makeup artist was to make him look like a rhino in human form.
Fair dues, eh?
Great. Sting was supposed to have a cameo as a Harkonnen since he played the original Fade Ratha, but this was cut from the movie. But I don't know if the scene was cut or the idea was cut. It was very vague. A lot of the things I was looking up for useless information was just, this bit from the book was not able to be adapted. And I was like, give me something good, John.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
100%. Villeneuve said that everyone cast in this movie was his personal first choice, but producers did fight him on some of the casting. They originally wanted Emma Roberts.
Ah, fuck off.
As Princess Ourulon, which later goes on to be played by Florence Pugh. She backed out due to a busy schedule, which, one, has worked out for the best all round because the Pew is in the film. Two, has Emma Roberts been busy with anything that hasn't been American Horror Story? Like,
I haven't seen her anything other
apart
than...
apart from American Horror Story. What the fuck's she up to? Oh, she's pushing.
What's she up to in 2020 when they're filming this?
I think she's got a couple of kids now. She's away being a ma. But basically, Villeneuve was like, everyone I wanted, I got. And I'm like, all right, smug. But apparently, the producers just tried to fight him to get a couple of things in. And he was like, no, I will not.
No, I feel this.
I was looking for more in case there was like other young actors that were up for it. But there was genuinely nothing. All of it was just like, oh, this bit can be in. Your favourite part, and I will let you have the floor. What have you got?
Well, I went through my shield one.
Right.
And I've got two more. Two of my best ones, I think. So, I believe you told me yesterday that Earth like, as was real in that. Like, this is kind of in the future, I believe. Yeah,
so the House Atreides are supposed to have originated from, like, Greek times.
Yeah.
And then they've just fucked off to space kind of thing.
So through all this time, traveling, meeting other, like, because I assume there's other, like, species of people, like, aliens and that, you still got names like Paul and Duncan cutting about. Like, that, it's so bizarre that those two names are just, that it's so off-putting to me.
Aye.
And it's such a stupid thing. But I'm like, why Paul and Duncan? Why do they?
But then it's the same in Star Wars when he's called Luke. You know what I mean? Like, what do you want? Do you want, like, Star Trek? Like, he is Doctor.
Most of them have it in this movie.
Aye, fair.
Like, Barrett Harkonnen.
Barrett Harkonnen.
Then you've got, where's Dave? Like, what's Dave doing?
Dave.
And the other one I've got, and that's not just this, like, movies. This is kind of like sci-fi and movies in general.
Wait, this point you're about
to
say.
Yeah, the point I'm about
to
make, right?
Okay.
Is why is it always, there's, like, one person that can do all this stuff?
Yeah, I get you.
There's always a chosen one.
Yeah.
It's kind of a trope, mostly in sci-fi.
Yep.
Because you have, obviously, have it with Neo and all that. Is it? Why can it only be one?
Highlander? There can't be only one.
Like,
that's literally the point of the movie.
But that, and you have Star Wars, that, oh, Luke Skywalker, he's this, that, is it? Sure, there's somebody else that could help him.
You would
maybe
think,
carry the load a wee bit.
Yeah, carry the load, share the load. That's the thing, especially with Star Wars, is, like, now, obviously, they're going on their further wee tangents. And they're just straight up, like...
They're just doing it again.
Yeah, they're like, how can we relate all of this back to the Skywalkers? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, 100%, totally agree.
As I say, I went through the shield one, so
yeah.
I'm not going to get back out of that.
No, why then? I also bounced off the back of your shield one. I don't really know if my A's count as A's, and when I say that, I only have, like, two.
Yeah.
So, I already said about Fade Rotha, Skin Fade Rotha.
Yeah.
I wish he'd been at least mentioned a bit more in this movie so that it would have been a bit more impactful when we finally meet him. Do you know what I mean? Just a wee bit, like, when Baron Harkonnen's talking to your man, David Malky, Big David Malky.
Aye,
Malkyed. And, like, Batista and all that, if they're like, oh, what the fuck? And he's like, ah, fades away training for battle or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they could have worked in some dialogue to build him up so you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that by the time it gets to, and he pops up, and you're like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean?
Aye, so, sorry to butt in here, but
no,
a lot of this movie, like, they all get, like, their 10 minutes, as I've said, right?
Yes.
Who do you take out to include the skin fade in it?
Skin fade, Rotha. That's the thing, though. You're right, because everybody's kind of needed. Do you know what I mean? Like, these are all, like, even... Like, obviously, you still need the doctor, because he's the one who fucking sells them out.
Yeah.
You need the general, because he's the one... Like, yeah, there's nobody... You still need Jason Momoa, as bad as he is in it. Duncan Idaho is a huge part.
Yeah.
Like...
Because that was my first thing, to get rid of Duncan, but...
You can't.
If it's true, some of the stuff you've said...
Yeah.
Then I'm not, like, you can't...
What do you mean, if it's true? I'm reading the book, and I'm telling you as I'm reading
it. Yeah, but, I mean, if they're going to do it in the movie.
Yeah, I get you. Well, that's the thing, with June Messiah, it's supposed to start filming next year. He only wanted to make it part one and two, but they were like, you can't leave us with that, because the end of June part two is fucking class. But they were like, you can't leave us with that. So... I don't know how much of the book Jyn Messiah is going to follow.
Yeah.
Jyn Messiah is not... It's not a long one, and it's a lot of plotting, so I don't really know where they're going to go with it. I mean, there's obviously points they have to hit, but I don't know how they're going to do it. Anyway, so I did my Fade Rotha bit, backed off you and the shields. This, again, I know we've had a mini Zendaya rant, right? And I don't really know if this counts as an A, but bear with me here, right? So, Zendaya was really used as, like, a huge part of the marketing. She's, like, really heavily featured in the trailers, on the posters. For June Part 1 in particular, all of the interviews were with her and Chalamet together. So, and the way she was talking about this movie was as if fucking hell, Zendaya's getting her moment. And then a lot, I feel like all of us went to see it expecting more Zendaya.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's only in it for 7 minutes. Now, I know, obviously, like, again, with part two, Florence Pugh came out and said when she got the role, Villeneuve was like, listen, it's a small role, but the way we did with Zendaya, it's an introduction to your character before you get punted into the next one, right? Which is fair play. Absolutely fair play. I honestly think Florence Pugh's in more of part two than Zendaya was in part one. Do you know what I mean? But I just think it was a bit wild. I don't know if it was to like address the youngins, because obviously Zendaya's coming off the back of Euphoria and Spider-Man. Yeah. And like people are going to be like, oh, Zendaya's in that. I'm going to go see that. But I do feel like your Euphoria and Spider-Man crowd who are going to come and see June, because Zendaya's in
they're going to be disappointed.
We're going to be fucking livid, do you know what I mean? Of like, I've sat through all this and she's in the last fucking 10 minutes. Like, yeah.
At least with the Spider-Man one, there'd be more of a crossover for fans.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking Euphoria and you're at, like, you're going to see it falls out, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But I really don't have many A's for this because I just think everything's great.
Yeah. No, like, that's fair enough.
I can't, you cannot ruin June for me. Although you might be on your way to ruining Zendaya for me, Elsie. Who's your worst guy whose hairline's receding?
Oh, it has to be a doctor, surely.
That's what I've got.
He's a fucking rat.
Dr. Huey for setting them up and ratting them out.
Yeah, he's a rat.
Which as well, he's like, oh, they've got my wife. If I like, so your wife is getting tortured by the Harkonnens, right? That's a pure sin, right? That's a pure shame. So you're going to rat out one of the biggest houses in the fucking empire to, like, what? But no bother.
See, mine,
like,
my
I
thought,
love you, Ross, but I'm not ratting you. Like,
my thought's not even that. It's, I assume Baron Harkonnen has a reputation for doing shit like this.
Yeah.
So what mean, why would you think you would give your wife back?
Yeah. Totally.
Like, no, get fucked.
It's like, oh, maybe this time it'll be me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, bullshit.
Who have you got who's in a different movie?
Gotta be Momoa.
I've got Jason Momoa as well. He's just like, do you know what I mean? When you look at Jason Momoa, you're like, he's just saying lines from a script. You know, like, there's
I've just got plays it like a bro. That's what I've put for it.
I love it. Do you have an I'm out? I mean, you're probably the whole movie.
I'm never out of it. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I've tried, I've watched this, few times that I kind of get into it.
Yeah.
It's no for me. And that's fine. I am okay with that.
That's okay. So I take it you won't be arsed about June Messiah? I mean,
I'll go see it, but my arch nemesis is in it.
Are you going to let people know?
Once June 3 comes out, then I'll let people know, but I can't. I've ranted too much in this one.
Right, okay. I'm going to pick a movie that they're in so that you have to talk about it.
I just won't do it. I might be a special guest that week.
Yeah, okay. I'm never out of this movie. I could have this movie on all the time. I talk about this movie all the time. Like, this is like June in general is a passion. And then when we get to June part two, motherfucker. Like, what a masterpiece.
No,
if the rumors are true that June part two is going to be up for all sorts of Oscar nods, I'm fucking in. I am so in. Because everything about June 2 is great. Catch review. I've just got that they woke up for the bagpipes. So they're good Scottish cats.
Aye.
So maybe they'll prefer like Braveheart or something.
I can see that.
I'm also trying to sneak in another one of my favourite movies onto the pod.
No damn Braveheart.
Come on, Ross. Come on.
Well, I just sat through 3 years of this. He's peace.
Right, okay. Lee.
Tell you, we need to get them to watch Cats and Dogs. That's the only thing they'll be interested in.
Yeah, that's true. Although we did try Aristocats with them and they were not fucked at all. The only, she seems to really, she liked Silent Hill. There was like a day last week where it was super foggy, so me and Ross sat and watched Silent Hill. Wee Junie's loving it, man.
Nah, she was gone mad for that.
And what's your cat review?
Just the same. Woke up for that, then had a fight, then a kip.
Yeah, that's all they do. Fight, kip, neat.
Aye, pain your asses.
Right, Trips, this has been my episode of 10 out of 10 with Hodge again. Thank you so much for listening to me talk shite about my favourite thing. And we'll bring you something really good next week, and Ross will be a bit more hyped about it next week, all right? As always, follow us on Instagram or YouTube, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye!
Hey, ho, hey, hi, hey, hi!
Not the rolling stone!